I finally have the, like, I have a little, the Dell notebook, right? Like a refurbished 12-inch little Dell Latitude that I wiped it clean and I put Ubuntu on it. So now I feel pretty good loading up the terminal version of Dungeon Crawl Stone Soup on it. I'm like, oh, finally, cool. It doesn't feel like I'm wasting shit. Perfect. It's not on my list of 2019, by the way.
Dorkadia podcast. This is Megan Spur,
John Spengler,
Charles Spur.
All right, we are dangerously close to the end of the year, so
now I'm gonna have to do some fucking work. I've had weeks off. It's so nice.
So let's do the thing that everybody does. Your tops for the past year. I think we've agreed that we're keeping it to games that you played in this past year, as opposed to limiting it to just games that came out this past year. So
yeah, so shit you've discovered. That's
mm-hmm. Yeah,
yep.
That's good.
You mean discover your next favorite game, Charles?
Oh, God.
Wait, is that the tagline?
You're corporate shilling.
Stop it!
Oh, no, don't do that. No, I'm kidding.
Get out of Xbox. Game Pass. PR mode.
I'm trying
for
to
a few minutes.
Only one of my...
So let's talk about The Outer Worlds.
Only one of my top three games.
Have you guys heard of this crazy game called Minecraft? God. It's not just for kids, I hear.
Oh, stop.
Wow. What a name.
Fuck off.
Okay. Somebody who's not me. Who's starting?
Okay. So I'm the worst at playing current games. I'm going to start. There's...
So we're going to do this chronologically by release date.
Probably. I have three games I'm going to bring up. I'm not going to bring up one I was originally going to because it's on Megan's list.
Well, it's a shared.
Yeah, and I'll chime in because it was on your list. I have three games to bring up. The one that came out this year that I really enjoyed and I didn't give enough time and I want to go back to it is Baba Is You. Came out in March. Probably the best... Using the word best is tough. Just the most magical puzzle game that has come out in recent memory.
That is our shared one, right?
Yeah. Oh, wait. That was our shared one.
That's okay.
Yep, nope. That's what I'm going with. Fuck it. This is Baba Is You. Right. This is on your list. Baba Is You was good enough that we were all hanging out with a bunch of friends at a cabin in the middle of nowhere getting drunk. And Charles takes out his Switch and starts playing Baba Is You. And literally everyone stopped what they were doing to just try to help. Because the game is so fucking baffling but immediately engaging that everyone wanted to pitch in.
Baba Is You is delightful because it's so simple in that all of the words and the rules, everything is on the screen. There is nothing hidden. It is all there for you to interact with. Mm-hmm. Which makes you feel real dumb when it's all there and you haven't immediately discovered what the answer is.
I got like three worlds in, which is only like, depending on how, it's always hard to talk about how long you've played a puzzle game. Because it is totally possible for someone to blow past the shit that like took you 45 minutes to figure out. But like I got to like world 3-ish, like the end of world 3, and that shit gets hard.
Yeah.
Like after a certain point, I don't feel bad for not getting it. It is really, really difficult.
Yeah, but... It's really enjoyable. I really
like
the...
It's a joyful game. It's so good.
Yeah, I like that the rules are all there for you to literally push and pull and move things around and change the rules based off of what is makes sense on the screen. So it is a... It's not like a 32-bit game. It is just a 2D hand animation. I'm assuming it's hand animation. It kind of looks like it.
Well, yeah, it's mouse animation. Someone opened up Paint.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a game that like cuts the shit, gets right to what it's about, and I don't know if I've played a more universally accessible game. You have to understand English, and you have to be able to like conjugate a sentence, but that's about it. That's most game players.
Sure, yeah.
In the West, at least. And as long as you meet that barrier, like, that game is technically for everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, that's probably our audience, so...
Yes, that
fine.
Is our audience, yes. The one that I was going to bring up that wasn't on our list, the other indie title that came out this year that I wanted to bring up was Trials of Fire. It's in early access. I don't know if that technically counts. But I did bring it up earlier in the year. It is a really good tactical RPG, and now that a couple of months have gone by since PAX and I bought it after playing it, like immediately, the developers have made meaningful changes to the game. They are sticking with it. They have weekly updates to the game, which is really great. They're super communicative. The community's really friendly and supportive. And if you get into the game, you are going to find friends in that community that also get into the game. And it's just developing, like, it's truly a joy to see an early access game where you pay for it and then you get new content, really big revisions to how the game works, and it all just gets better over time. So I don't have a lot to share about that, but Trials of Fire, absolutely. I think it's $19.99 or something. Absolutely, if you like tactical RPG games, super worth getting into. And then Baba Is You is fucking tremendous. Again, the most joyful, immediately accessible, clear video game experience I've had in years.
It was one that I enjoyed playing by myself. I enjoyed getting stuck on something, walking away, and coming back with a fresh perspective and being able to immediately blow through things.
Yeah.
Or getting stuck on it so long to watch YouTube videos of somebody else right. getting through it.
I don't think I've ever played a puzzle game where I got out, I literally got out of bed like an hour after turning out the light. Like, I went to bed, and an hour later I got out of bed, went to the living room, started my Switch to see if the new idea I thought of would solve the problem I was stuck on. It didn't. But I got out of bed to try it, because Baba Is You is fucking tremendous. It's so good.
And like, unsurprisingly, I'm like, oh, why did I think that was going to work? Oh, well, back to bed.
Yes. I'll defend myself. I had a good idea that didn't work. It was a genuine idea. It wasn't just dream logic.
A genuine idea as opposed to those fake ones.
As opposed to just like booting up the computer and being like, well, I was dreaming. This does not make any sense.
I just like the idea that John's a fake idea gamer.
A fake what?
Idea gamer. You just have fake ideas.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's how you game.
Did we want to go around the circle?
Yeah. What do you have, Charles?
I mean, I guess first on my list is probably Sea of Solitude. Mm. I really enjoyed that one. Mm-hmm. We did most of a podcast on that game. So, yeah, that's probably like top of my list. You know, one that I had finished and we hadn't talked about on podcast, though, was The Outer Worlds.
Yeah, sure.
And I kind of dug that. I thought the ending was a little cumbersome, but...
Well, I heard that game really... And again, I haven't touched The Outer Worlds because I don't play games that are current. But
Because you don't like nice things.
I just don't like nice things. I heard that the game tackled, like, really big ideas. Like, I can imagine that an ending would be hard to stick.
Yeah, I mean, so I can't speak to everybody's experience with it, but my experience was... fucking burn capitalism to the ground.
Yeah.
No, I think that was most people's experience.
I mean, I think if you're, you know, a reasonable person, that was your experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that was the intent.
Sure, but you could decide you wanted to be a corporate lackey and be all for the corporations. I think it's an option. I'm pretty sure it's an option.
Hey, I watched a Let's Play of a genocide run of Undertale. Yeah. I mean, come on, whatever.
I really enjoyed it. I didn't realize how little my character choice was going to matter.
Sure.
Your character is your pile of stats that goes through the world and does things.
Yeah.
You're not a person so much. Like, you don't interact emotionally with anything. You just make decisions.
Gotcha.
You're making the calls.
Kind of Skyrim-y.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically Fallout New Vegas.
Gotcha.
Right? So, however you design your character in Fallout New Vegas doesn't matter, besides the stats you picked and what answers you choose to everything.
Sure.
But that's also... Mass Effect and Dragon Age and all of those things.
But in those, the way you design your character around, I mean, especially like Dragon Age,
especially
like races,
Dragon Age. Yeah.
And
your
what
origin.
Character class you choose, all kind of like have things that play in. Nothing,
small things, but nothing that is going to change like an ending. Nothing that's going to stop, you know, blowing up the station, or that's going to stop the Canary from, you know, attacking the boat. Like, there's none of your choices are actually going to impact those story points.
But it will impact how characters interact with you, which is not the case in Outer Worlds. Like,
so
whether you choose to have a background as a scientist or a cash register, or a cashier, or, you know, I think dirt farmer was actually an option.
It's important. Got to farm that dirt.
Yeah. None of that plays in at all. Like,
sure.
That is immediately erased the second you start the game. You are now the person who is trying to pretend to be the captain of a ship and go through the world to achieve the goals of the scientist who woke you up.
Sure.
And all your chosen profession and background does is provide stats for your abilities.
Yeah, it's a very Neverwinter Nights kind of like, oh yeah, I picked the farmer thing because it gave me plus one to my thing, and now I'm on a fantasy adventure. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
I mean, the only thing that makes a big impact is choosing to be dumb.
Does that restrict your choices?
It gives you more.
Oh, nice.
You get dumb dialogue options.
That's awesome.
So your character can actually be clueless.
That's good.
Chime in with, like...
Huh?
Yeah. Not just huh, but, like, completely misunderstanding what people are saying.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think I realized that. I watched a speed run where somebody got through Outer Worlds in 12 minutes.
Sure.
I'll send you a link. There's a delightful video of two of the developers watching a 12-minute speed run and them talking about, like, what is this person doing and what are their choices, and I'm surprised that they've made these stats. And it was a really interesting video. But they were talking about, like, if you choose to be dumb. And I didn't think... I guess I didn't realize that it actually opened up more options.
Yeah, you actually have to... You have to manually lower your intelligence stats.
Very, very Fallout.
They start out too high for that, just by default. You have to intentionally bring them down to give you points to put into something else.
The classic experience, of course, being, and I grew up with this, playing PC games with a buddy in his basement, putting your intelligence or whatever it was, smarts, no, intelligence, stat, yes, it's the I in special. Your intelligence down to 3 or whatever in the original Fallout, and your dialogue options are awful! Ugh, oog, and what? And, like, I think one of the, like, I think we genuinely found a dialogue option that was, like, slap forehead. Like, you just slap your forehead in response to whatever the village elder was telling you. And we were like, ah, nice. Anyway, yes.
Right, so, like, that's...
Super legit.
Yeah, so that's an option that you can go through. But, yeah, like... Everything else about your character is completely immaterial. Nobody cares if you're a man or a woman or what you look like or what your chosen profession was before you were frozen and sent across the galaxy.
Sure.
Sure. Okay.
But otherwise, like, the characters in it were delightful. I especially found Parvati to be, like, just a delightful character. She's the first one you bring into your party, and she is certainly the character with, like, the most personality.
Sure.
So having her along almost all the time was... Because your characters do dialogue between each other if you take them along with you. Not your character, but the companions you take
with you. Companions, yeah, right.
You can take up to 2 at a time, so very Dragon Age.
Yes.
They will just converse with each other as you're walking around.
Nice.
Was there any sort of fast travel? Like, could you, like, I guess not really ride a horse, like, do a, if you're traveling with your companions, is there a way to travel faster than running somewhere?
Yeah, it had basically teleport options.
Okay. That's one of the things that bothered me the most about Inquisition, is that you could have multiple characters with you, but if you rode a horse to get from point A to point B, they didn't do the dialogue.
Right. If you did the reasonable thing using the tools the game gave you, short-circuited your...
Yes.
Your
yeah, there were no, like, vehicles or anything in the game. You could fast travel by going back to a point you had been to before.
Right, which ensures that you're using the mode of transportation that allows idle chatter, ensuring that you get the content.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
I played on one of the easier settings, so I didn't have any of the like, weird, hardcore survivalist thing where you had to make sure you were eating and drinking and sleeping enough.
Sure.
Nope.
Because I just cared about the story.
Mm-hmm. I don't care about 5th Ed D&D. Thank you.
I wasn't doing resource management, so.
Sure. Yeah. Cool. I heard great things about The Outer Worlds. It was one of the few games I heard people in the wild talking about. Like, I went to multiple coffee shops, and the... Multiple times, people behind the counter with customers were talking about Outer Worlds, and the story was always the same. People got to certain story beats, and they decided, I want to take this game slow, because it's doing some crazy shit. And it, like, sunk into the collective unconscious of the fucking gaming community. Like, it was really, kind of just effortlessly was enjoyed by a bunch of people.
Because we all liked Fallout. Guess who made the game?
Yeah.
There's one thing I thought I might go back and do again later, because I got to a conflict in the game and decided not to help out either side because they were both kind of assholes.
Okay. Just opted out.
Yeah, when I just didn't address it again and finish the game, the ending was like, yeah, so because you didn't choose a side, everybody actually ended up dying.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Neither side was able to prevail in this one.
Hmm.
So shit went horribly wrong, and it started... a chain reaction where everybody died, and then all the people back at the settlements died, and the planet turned into a total wasteland with wild animals killing everyone. You're like, oh.
I might want to go back and redo
that. I guess
that.
I probably should have chosen.
That's interesting.
Okay.
That's kind of cool. That's a gutsy move on a story fucking RPG game. That's
and
cool.
It was like, do I choose the guy who's really corporate, or do I choose the guy who's all freedom to the point where he let marauders kill all the corporate people? Like, he gave them the codes to get into the city.
Right.
And then went, oh no, raiders attacked!
Oh no, freedom of speech!
And then denies that he ever did. Like, he won't own up to it. You yeah, find evidence right. of it.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, okay, so you're just a fucking murderous asshole.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's a good game.
Cool. Outer Worlds.
Oh, we're going to me now?
Yeah.
I would say Telling Lies is on my list. So it's the successor. Sam Barlow did Her Story, mm-hmm. which, John, you introduced me to Her Story, and yep. I love it. It is
it's
still
so good.
Easily one of my favorite games. Mm-hmm. It's Definitely. It is my favorite game, especially nowadays when, you know, I have new friends and we're like, hey, you want to come over and do a game night where I'm not necessarily really interested in doing a board game.
Right.
If you haven't played this game, awesome. I'll make food. We'll get
drinks.
We'll
all play it together.
And I'm going to sit and watch you guys, like, you know, I'll help you out, but like, it's fun to watch people play that game.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So Telling Lies is the successor to that. Well, it's not the successor. It is not, like, it's not like part two, right?
No, it's just the next game, and it's, like, spiritually along the same lines.
Yes, yeah. Same concept. It is a game about search engine optimization.
Yes.
It is you type in words on a search engine, and videos pop up, and essentially, the game is over when you have decided what happens.
Yep.
And that's it.
It's frustrating search engines and UI the game.
Yeah.
Just what are the best distillations? One of the best examples of what a game is? It's like, no, it's normal stuff everyone does. With restrictions. Doesn't that sound fun? And no, it doesn't. And then you play it and you're like, this is great.
Yes.
It's like a search engine with no page two, but you need page two.
Yep. Nothing that tells you when it's over. That's the other part that I very, very much like about this. Because there's nothing that is like, this is the end of the game, you've hit stop, run credits, this is the end of the story, that's done. The thing that I've liked the most about, I think it was better executed in Her Story, a little bit less in Telling Lies, is when the story ends, you make the decision of what happened.
Sure.
And in Her Story, the case, don't Google it, if you haven't played it yet, don't Google it. If you have ever any intent of
playing... Spend the $2.99 or whatever Her Story is on Steam, whatever it is.
I mean, if it were on Game Pass.
You could. I'm not even the corporate shill anymore. Charles is, like, chucking it out more than I am. But I... Man, if the moment that you Google Her Story, that's when the spoilers happen.
Yeah.
So I hate to tell people that. If you want to play it, just go play it. But Telling Lies is less like that, because it's much more complex. It wasn't built on an $8 budget, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like Her Story had the benefit of being made with, like, $25 and a box of donuts someone donated. so that they really, like, I feel like Sam Barlow really boiled the game down to ace. And I think the thing that you're talking about, without spoilers, is there is a singular mystery hidden in the game, and then you get to noodle it out, and you get to talk about it, and you get to talk to your friends about it. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
There's like a thing that you get to sink your teeth into, and it is one thing. And Telling Lies doesn't seem to have that, like, singular distillation of the thing that everyone talks about, right?
Well, and Telling Lies, I think, does a good job of kind of pressuring you to end it.
Yeah, there's a time constraint.
Sure.
It's not strictly enforced, but it definitely, like, pushes on you that you have been at this long enough and that you should be finishing up.
Gotcha.
So I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I just because Megan and I, our weird dynamic of playing games as a couple, which includes not playing games together.
Sure, yeah.
With this specifically, well, I knew she was playing, and so I went into the other room and played something else with my headphones on so I wouldn't hear what she was going through.
Right.
So that I could then come through and have my experience playing that game, which ended up being fairly different. Like, our initial endings, because what you do in the game will influence how the game's ending plays
out. Right, I remember hearing that, like...
Hearing
that, like, the things you look up will influence what you see at the end.
Yep. So those are things I think people talked about, as well as, did you find all of these videos?
Yeah.
There was more if you use this for this kind of thing. As opposed to Her Story, which was more of a... I came to this conclusion, you came to this conclusion, and we're going to argue the merits of those two things.
Right. Yeah.
So one was more about, like, what was the merits of the decision you made versus did you find all of these things?
But, you found the Lego pieces. What did you construct with them? Because there were, like, seriously, like, 10 puzzle pieces in her story, as opposed to an enormous amount of puzzle pieces.
120. Yeah.
And did you find all of them? What information did you gather? Let's compare notes.
Yeah.
No one was comparing notes in her story.
Yeah.
You just had a theory, and then you talked about it.
Yep. That being said, her story, one actress telling lies, I believe, had...
Wasn't it five?
20.
It's like four main people, yeah. And then there are the four characters you really follow, and then there's a bunch of side characters.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I really like this kind of story, and yeah. I love this kind of game. It's not necessarily a... walking simulator, some people want to describe them. Mm-hmm. It's not an RPG. It is not a lose scenario, win scenario. It's an experience, and I really enjoy that. I love
It's truly interactive fiction, but it's not interactive fiction where you're like playing a choose your own adventure book.
Yeah.
It's like completely different.
Yeah.
It's interactive in an actual novel way.
It's a really interesting game. I like it a lot. I'm hoping to see what Sam Barlow does in the next 5 years.
5 years, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I want to pick it up. I'm glad, like, you brought that up, because I'd forgotten all about that game, and I should really play that again.
Yeah.
Or I should play Telling Lies and then go play her story again.
Yeah.
Since you mentioned Walking Simulator, there is one game I do want to kind of bring up that you discovered due to Game Pass and then wanted me to play, and that is What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, that did not come out this year. That was
that's previous year.
Oh, but it's over,
It was definitely one, and I guess that should be on my list as well if we're talking about games that we played this year. What Remains of Edith Finch reminds me similar to games that I like Gone Home, Firewatch.
Yeah, except those games kind of led me to expect by the end of What Remains of Edith Finch that I would get some rational explanation. And no, that game is just a ride of wild fucking crazy stories. And you just get to experience that. And at the end, it's still just a bunch of weird crazy shit.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There is some...
I mean, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but like it's like a two-hour experience or something like that.
Yeah, it takes about 2 hours. And I, again, also... what a delightful time period, enough for me to sit and crush through a game and be like, that was so good, but I feel like I can walk away now. But it does something that I remember. What was the God of War game where you play as the character that Kratos is crushing in his eyeballs?
Oh, yeah.
That was weird. That was that two? I don't remember if that was two or three.
Yeah, it wasn't Hermes. No. Where you, like, chase Hermes down and have to, like, click down the... No, and you, like, press buttons to, like, punch Hermes' like, skull in, and it never stops you. Like, you can just keep going. But there was, like, another one where, like he finds another god, and, like,
it's from... it was, like, Poseidon or something.
It's Poseidon, like, or Zeus or something.
It's from Poseidon's perspective.
Yeah, and then you have to click in the thumbsticks.
Yeah.
To make his thumbs go into the eyes that you're looking through.
No.
Yeah, that was weird.
Oh, man, why don't people think video games are art?
I bring that up as that is probably the most brutal example of this. Edith Finch does do some things where you have to manually make something happen, you know what's going to happen, and it's telling you what's going to happen, and you just got to keep doing it.
Nice. You have to go through the motions of completing the horrible thing you know is about to happen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, not nearly as bad as, you know, shoving somebody's
thumbs through.
It's not
graphic, it's just you know... you're making a bad thing happen to somebody.
Yeah.
So the only other game where I know that where that happens, and I'm sorry, I just haven't thought about this in years, is Dead Space 2. Did you guys ever play the Dead Space games?
No.
Man, Dead Space 1 ruled. And Dead Space 2 was okay. And then don't play any more Dead Space games. I think there's only a number 3. I think it's...
I know there's a 3.
Yeah. Dead Space like 2 makes it clear that the main character, you... saw some shit in space that imprinted, like, forbidden knowledge into your retinas. That makes sense. And then now you have to go into a machine to get that information out. And the game zooms out as you strap yourself into a machine. And you see your own character have his hand on a console. And, of course, the way you get the information out is through a needle. And then you have to, like, guide a needle into your own character's eye. And, like, you have to time it so that your, like, involuntary little eye movements of your character, it, like, stops for a second, and then you jab yourself in the eye. And you have to press a button to make it happen, and you watch it happen, and it doesn't cut at all. You just scream, and there's a needle in your eye. Ah! Anyway.
No, thank you.
That game is surprisingly okay. And Dead Space 1 rules, so. Go play. Anyway. Not my game of 2019.
It's like needle in the eye doesn't get much squickier than that.
No, it's pretty bad. It's yuck.
Yeah. Okay.
One of my games that I have to bring up, one of my games that I absolutely have to bring up because it would be irresponsible for me not to, it'd be a lie for me not to, is the game I probably played the most in 2019, unfortunately, was 7 Days to Die. The zombie Minecraft crafting game made by a company called The Fun Pimps. Just buckle up for this one.
No.
It is.
I'm unbuckling.
I don't think I've ever brought it up on air before, but it is a game that is like, I think now, over the last year, ticked into 6 years in early access. They're on Alpha 18. And it's irresponsible. It's stupid. It is just a game that will never be finished. But my friends and I, the folks I play role-playing games with, one of the guys moved out of town. So we wanted to pick up a really dumb game that we could just play and talk while we play. And one dude, Dustin, suggested 7 Days to Die. And we play this incredibly wonky crafting game about shotguns and mixing cement to build forts to guard against zombie hordes that come every 7 days. And we just sit, and every Thursday, with about an 80 to 90% hit rate, for over a year we've been playing this game. I've probably played it more than any other game this year. And I gotta admit, man, it's fucking dumb. It is really fun to play with your friends. If you have, like, I know folks my age have, like, commented on Minecraft and said I don't get Minecraft. Like, it's creative, it's unguided, like, maybe it's just not for me, like, it's for kids or something. But, like, man, playing a creative game that is dirt simple and just is what it says on the tin, and then you get to play with your friends, is super great. And it's probably the game I kind of genuinely enjoyed the most out of the last year, just out of the virtue that I'm playing it with my buddies once a week for, like, 2 hours on every Thursday night. It's pretty good. I don't think I would recommend it. But if you have some long-distance buddies you want to talk to every once in a while and yell about how stupid the game is, fucking go nuts.
God, you could have just made that, except for the distance part, an ad for Dungeons & Dragons.
What, that it's not that great, but it's fun to play with your friends?
Yes.
Yes.
You want to get together once a week with your friends and be like, wow, this is kind of dumb.
Yeah, it's kind of fucking dumb.
We're doing this thing, but we're going to play this game. Mm-hmm. I too have played Dungeons & Dragons.
Yes, I think
have I... Have you heard of this game called Dungeons & Dragons?
I think I like 7 Days to Die more than Dungeons & Dragons, for sure.
See, that's kind of the experience I always wanted to get out of Destiny.
Just, right? Like, playing with your buddies every once in a while?
Yeah, just, like, having a regular day that we all got together and just, like, played together and did a thing in a game.
I will say, a crafting game where there's some sort of central conceit that is beyond the players. It's not just Minecraft where you're just building stuff, but like 7 Days to Die's, like, number one selling point is that every 7 days in game, which is 7 hours, like 1 hour a day, it's actually not very frequent, a gigantic horde of zombies shows up, and then you have to have built in the meantime enough of a base to, like, trap them and shoot them. You have to craft enough bullets, you have to, like, make the bikes to get to the other spots fast enough to loot the houses, to get the cooking material, to make the special meals that boost your stats for the horde night. Like, you just need something beyond that, so that for 6 hours of game, you're just hanging out, but you're all working on a central thing and, like, being creative. And then 1 hour, you're fucking yelling and screaming and nonsense is happening. And then 6 more hours happen. Like, that was the secret sauce for me. It wasn't, like, Destiny was too guided. Like, we played Destiny quite a bit together. Like, I played probably 30 hours of Destiny with mostly with buddies. And it was just really guided, and I just did my milestones and stopped playing. But, like, if it's a creative act, then it's our base. I want to build the new ramp for our new zombie trap with blade traps at the bottom. And I almost leveled up high enough to get, like, electric fences built, right? Stuff like that. Highly recommended. It is really fun. I don't know if I would recommend this crafting game, but a crafting game. Go play with your buddies.
Just not the one with zombies every 7 days. No, thank you.
Yeah. They are fast zombies.
Yeah, I will never play that game with you. Not even.
Yep, not even a little bit.
Holy nope, close. Nope.
Nope. So, yeah, that is probably technically my number one game of 2019, because it's the game I played the most and had a lot of fun playing.
Okay, to nobody's surprise, should it be that I will mention Untitled Goose Game.
Mm-hmm.
It is my game of the year. It was my game of PAX of 2018. It mm-hmm. was my game of PAX of 2019. Mm-hmm. When Untitled Goose Game released this year, I immediately sat down and played. I love it so much. It is amazing. And then the cultural moment that happened afterwards of everybody discovering the Untitled Goose Game and the memes that came from it and the UGC, the user-generated content.
Mm-hmm.
That's that social media manager coming at me.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes. Some shop talk just came out.
Yeah. Oh, no. Acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
I love Untitled Goose Game. It is so funny. It is just delightful. The music is so good. The mm-hmm. piano music mm-hmm. and all of it. It's wholesome. Again, you can't lose in this game. It is not a win-lose scenario. Well, I guess there's a win scenario, but it is just really fun. And I don't want to say wholesome in that you're just an asshole goose.
I'm like, you can be enough of an asshole to win, but...
Yeah.
There's no downside to it, apparently.
Yeah, there's nothing. They just don't like you because you're a goose, which is fair because you're a goose.
That's just a documentary at this point. It's just true. Geese are dicks.
Yeah. Yes. I've had multiple broken arms now to share that story.
No, but... it's just a goose simulator.
I actually made a joke about that on YouTube today about Title the Untitled Goose Game. So we had lots of goose simulators.
Mm-hmm.
Honk Honk, and the Titled Goose Game were probably the top three options.
Yeah, that's obvious.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to postulate, I don't know if this is confirmed, this seems like something that's easily confirmable. Have you guys seen any of the new episodes of Rick and Morty?
No.
Not spoiling anything about the new episodes, but in the season 4 title credits, right, like the intro,
yeah,
a pure white two-headed goose jumps on the table and Rick dives for cover and pulls out a gun and starts, like, arming up to kill it. While the rest of the family hides. I guarantee you, knowing Dan Harmon, that is an Untitled Goose Game reference. It has to be. It is a pure white two-headed goose doing nothing but honking on the kitchen table.
Yep.
That and Rick is going to kill it. It's great.
I have enjoyed watching people use the goose slowly reaching out to take Master Chief's helmet back at Xbox.
Okay, I didn't make that meme. I cannot take credit for that. My wonderful friend Wade and a good friend of mine, Sarah, came up with that idea to do in response to somebody using a meme of the goose running, or is it the goose running away from Master Chief?
I think. Like his gun or something. I don't remember.
Yeah. It was a meme that somebody put on Reddit right after Goose Game came out, and we were trying to find a way to respond to somebody about that, and so there's...
One of our characters doing violence to another character in a popular game. Great. What are we going to do?
So Wade made this amazing GIF that is a snippet of the preview of... Or not the preview, excuse me, the trailer for Halo Infinite, mm-hmm. which is... You know, Chief's helmet down. Obviously you don't see Chief, but like a scene out in the distance. The helmet, you can see the vehicle, because I can't say what it is,
mm-hmm.
in the reflection. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden you see just this goose head that Wade drew just coming up. Just
so
like
it's not
slowly.
Like the goose, it's like a drawn goose. Like
it's a drawn goose, MS like just coming goose. Up to like sneak up to the helmet, and then the GIF repeats itself, but it's...
That's
delightful.
Really great.
It's real good.
So now that it's out in the wild, people started using it. And I was like, that is so amazing. That is one of the cool things about working
on
this team.
You have 1 degree of separation from goose stealing.
Yeah, no, I just love the fact that people are now using that back at Game Pass.
Oh, it's so good. It's... mwah, love it. Love it. I have known that Goose Game was coming to Game Pass for a little while, and I've only just now been able to say something about it coming out. And I've been so happy. Woo! That's delightful. So yes, Untitled Goose Game. It does nothing but bring me joy. The game itself is a lot of fun. Some of the puzzles were, you know, it's not hard. You just have to, like, just keep doing it often enough until you get through it. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. It is wholesome enough that everybody can play. Everyone can enjoy being an asshole goose with a to-do list.
I mean, I know we've been talking about it for, like, a couple of years now. Like, since it first showed up at PAX. And we were like, oh, this is amazing!
Oh, I lost my shit. But yeah.
The fact that it's become this popular was something I never would have predicted.
It's a nice vindication for seeing something and being and recognizing, like, this is something special. It's goofy. It's not something we've ever seen before, and I think it's going to resonate. But what do we know? We're fucking niche nerds that just like what we like. And then it just has the wide appeal. I don't know. I also think that the, not rise, but continual popularity of streaming games also helps Goose Game. Because that's a funny game to stream for a couple of hours. Like, I guarantee you, your favorite streamer played that game.
Yeah.
For a while. And got it in front of his their audience, right?
Yeah. It's delightful, but it's just as much fun to play as it is to watch.
Oh, yeah.
That's, yeah. And this is my corporate shill moment, but yes, it is on Game Pass, so.
It's a good service, I don't know. No. It's not a bad thing to shill. Like, it's a fucking legit service.
That's the only thing
I say, like, if you gotta be a corporate person for
if you're gonna be a corporate shill for something, it might as well be like, well, if you're gonna pay for the subscription service, these are the good games that are on it.
The hyper-accessible subscription service for games, yes.
Yes, I'm not telling you to go out and buy it. I'm just telling you if you've already got it, this game's on it. So then those of you who have it should go play it.
Yes.
I mean, no. Just as an aside, with Game Pass, like, it's probably the best of those services out there. Like, I
Game service of 2019.
Yeah. Well, I subscribe to Origin Access Premier on the PC because it's EA does a different service on PC than it does on console.
Okay.
I can't mock them for how difficult that is because do have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, so.
Right, and what you guys can have on PC versus what you can have on console.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We're all making it ridiculously difficult.
But no, with Origin, so, like, Origin has two different levels. They have, like, Origin Access, which is like, well, these are the okay games, or the really older games that are good.
Yeah.
And then there's Premiere for an extra $10 a month. And that comes with things that are new, like the new FIFA or the new Madden, or I don't know, actually know if there's a Madden on there. But one of the things was Fallen Order, which is why I subscribed to it most recently, because I figured
$20.
Yeah, I can pay $15 to play through Fallen Order and then
be
done with it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's not a game that's going to have a whole lot of replay unless they come out with some DLC. But we can talk about Star Wars endlessly on the next podcast since we'll have so much to talk about.
Yes.
With the new movie,
Mandalorian
is
going to
wrap up. And then we can talk about Fallen Order and how that all plays in.
Sure.
Yeah. Anybody else? Games?
I played the shit out of Dead Cells. I brought it up before. A new DLC is coming out soon for it in 2020, quarter one. Dead Cells continues to be a magical experience. I am having my ass handed to me over and over again, and I'm on difficulty 2 out of 5.
I have not finished it once for the first time.
It's tough, man.
So, yeah.
It's the kind of game where, like, I know I've gotten better because I'm playing on hard, which is difficulty level 2, right? After normal, and, like, I go back to normal, and I'm like, what the fuck is this baby game that gave me all this trouble? What the fuck? And then I go to hard, and I just, man, ass on platter, given back to me. It's just over and over again. So good. But I can get to the end of hard now, and the last, just the most, like, well-balanced, shitty gameplay experience. I've now clawed my way up to the last boss in hard. And now it's handing me my ass over and over again, so it feels really good. Like, when I'm gonna fucking beat that guy, it's gonna be great. And then I get to difficulty level 3 out of 5.
Just quick advice then. Would you say it is more important to speed through levels or to unlock those bonus doors in the in-between area? Or to fully explore levels and find the stuff that's lying around in there? Yeah.
I would recommend if you're playing Dead Cells, first off, if you are new to it, just get good at it. Just learn what the tells are for enemies, and don't worry if you die and if you have to start over. You're going to start that game over 800 times. It's fine. Like, don't worry if you lose, right?
Well, that's kind of the point of it, right?
Yeah. But my recommendation is if you want to buckle down and have, like, maybe your first win, take it really slowly. Most levels have, and you'll realize this when you play the game, Most levels have two doors that give you a special reward if you meet the requirement. One is usually a time trial, where, like, if you beat the level in X number of minutes, you get a bonus. And the other door is if you beat X number of enemies without getting hit, you get a bonus.
Oh, is that what that other number is?
Yes. So, like, for example, the first level...
I thought that was time. And I'm like, how the fuck am I getting through this in 30 seconds? I don't know. No, God damn it.
No, that is kill 30 enemies without getting hit once.
Oh.
In a row. So you can get hit early on. Yeah. But if you, like, kill 30 enemies in a row, you qualify. Take it slow. Get good enough to kill 30 enemies in a row. And you get to explore the whole level. Get all the scrolls that boost your stats, which are super important towards the end of a run. Like, the difference between having a 20 and a 22 in a stat is exponentially huge. So, like, it's really important to get all those scrolls. And, yeah, and eventually you get to levels where they expect you to have 60 kills in a row without getting hit. And that's totally doable. It just takes a while. So, no, take it slow. Really get used to the game. And it feels like a game that eventually you want to run through it like a ninja, killing everything going at Mach 3, and that's really fun. But learning how to play Dead Cells, take it slow, be conscientious, use turrets and poisons and bleed if you have to, it's fine. And just enjoy it. It's really good. It's a lot of fun to get better at the game.
Like, one of my favorite combos was to, like, a Frost Blast and the fucking hammer.
Oh, yeah.
That does, like, crazy bonus damage to frozen enemies.
Yeah, the Nutcracker, which crits anything. It's a gigantic hammer that crits anything that is, like, stunned or slowed or frozen or whatever. Yeah, and then there's the Hadouken, like, ice blast thing. Yeah, it's a great combo, yeah. Dead Cells, probably the most compelling game I've played of this last year.
So, also on Game Pass.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Definitely. I appreciate that I didn't have to be the one to say that. No, what I was going to say is, as we're wrapping this up, just curious what you are playing or watching next. Doesn't have to be a game, or reading, or whatever. What's up next? That's not one of the games you just said.
So I can't say beating hard on Dead Cells. Yeah. Somebody else go. I have no idea.
All right. Well, I am only a few acts into Devil May Cry 5. I just thought, you know, what the hell? I might as well go play this thing. I haven't played a Devil May Cry game since Devil May Cry.
Right. I heard Devil May Cry 5 was a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. I have been playing it on human mode with auto on because I don't really know combos. Sure. So it gets you a more, I don't know, frantic kind of pace going, like where it's kind of choosing to do attacks while you're just pressing a button.
Oh, it's like combo assist.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, sure.
But I think of getting more of a handle on it, so I might turn that off, and you can just do that in-game, like, while you're playing.
Sure.
I am going through Life is Strange 2. Mm-hmm. I am several chapters behind, and I want to get up to that as it is closing out. So, again, another one of those games that I super enjoy the style of gameplay.
Oh, yeah, so, for sure. So I've had a lot on my mind lately, so I've wanted a game that was mostly clicking on things and collecting things. So I picked up Albion Online again, Megan.
Why?
I wanted to, because I'm unemployed at the moment.
Well, okay,
and I needed a job.
So if you're unemployed,
you're I'm like, oh, wait, are we talking about things that don't take a lot of thought? Because like the titty clickers. I'm...
Oh, hell yeah.
God.
I got a match 3 game and it has titties. No, this is all Hannah's fault.
Is there an idol clicker?
Crush was just the gateway.
Wait, is Crush an idol titty clicker?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I am.
I mean, why not, right?
Oh, I legitimately could not care. I'm not judging the titty clickers or that there's naked people on any of these games. I am judging you so hard
for signing up for a part-time job.
Game. That essentially is another job.
Megan, don't worry. I'm really efficiently farming fiber and hide so I can make better bags for people.
And then you are selling that in order to play the game more. It's a job. You are just working and you're getting money from the company.
You're saying stuff to me, but nothing's clicking. I don't get it.
God.
Nothing's sinking in. Just
get a real job and it gives you actual money.
I can actually feel good now about the fact that I am not being obsessive about Neverwinter.
Neverwinter, yes.
Like, even though I was doing it for, like, the morning grind.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing it for the morning grind just to have something, like, kind of mindless to play.
Oh, yeah, but I was saying you were also doing that for years.
Yes. But even right now, like, there's this event going, it's their winter events going on, right? And if you have to log in so many times, you know, enough times and get enough things. during the time period. And if you get enough, you can buy a, God, it's like a ice-covered flail snail mount.
So that sounds nice.
So it's like a flail snail, but with like ice crystals coming off of it as well.
Nice.
Wait, am I supposed to be judging you hard for this or not?
No. The idea is like
Charles is resisting.
Like I've stopped not worrying so much about it. Like they had another thing like leading up to their new thing that you had to do like so many days out of this 21-day event in order to get all the things to unlock stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I don't fucking care about doing their little health hit.
No, the compulsory login thing is tough. It is an easy lever to pull. And, man, I hate it every time that I log into Albion to get my daily rewards for completing enough tasks during the day so that I get the stamp of approval from my manager that I have the... I'm Employee of the Month!
John!
I get rewards. Shut up.
I'm judging you so hard!
I hope that this will be the reaction.
I'm so upset.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a mobile game. Like, what the fuck?
Actually, what's funny is that they kind of changed course on Albion. Like, their original pitch was, yeah, it's like Eve, but it's fantasy, and also you can, like, play on mobile. And as the game gained popularity through the free-to-play, like, it went free-to-play, had a huge influx of people, and they were like, oh my god, we have so many people buying stuff through Steam. We're going to update the game and make really big updates and change everything and, like, really make the game do a graphical overhaul. We have so much money. Guess what doesn't work anymore? Fucking mobile. Like, every single update to the game crashes, like, mobile apps on, like, tablet and everything. So, it's kind of a mobile game. Sure. Kind of.
Don't play it. Don't do it. Don't play a game that turns into another job.
So
we can end on that.
So I really figured out how to, like, what tiers of raw materials are worth my time to go out and get on my own, or if I should just buy them from the auction.
No, I'm turning this off. I'm turning this podcast off. Because I don't want John to turn somebody else onto this. No, don't do it. Okay.
So that's been 2019, folks. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Right. I'll murder John at least three times.
Oh, that was a free-to-play offering in 2019. It was topical.
You asked for this as well.
No, I'm done. I'm done. Thanks for joining us. You can catch us at Doricadia.com, at Doricadia, most social medias, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Music, and Mixer. We'd love a rating, 5 out of 5.
I really want to make an Albion joke, but I'm not going to.
Thank you.
Goose to-do lists? 5 out of 5 more episodes where Megan talks about Untitled Goose Game?
There's so many already.
5 out of 5 find your next favorite game? Is that what the timeline is?
Find 5 out of 5 favorite game.
Okay, no, I'm going to stop. Even I'm like, you guys are being too corporate shill for me.
Find 5 out of 5 shills.
Well, that was, thank you. You just paid my next paycheck. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.